Beloved, please open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13. We'll begin a new chapter this morning as we preach through the Gospel of Matthew. If you're visiting, this is our approach. We want to give you all the goodness that God has for you to understand and for God for you to believe about the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we do that. I think a good method is to just select a book of the Bible and begin reading it verse by verse, chapter by chapter, like that. Reading it and explaining it to God's people, and then hopefully, if God will help us to make some application so we can begin to bring some fruit of that good light that He gives us. And that's why we are marching through the book of Matthew. Our text will be verses 10 through 17, but I want to give you, I know some of you have not been here for an earlier preaching, so we want to back up. And I'll begin with verse 1, just for a little bit of background, but I will preach beginning with verse 10. All right, hear now the word of our God. Matthew 13, verse 1. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, and great crowds gathered about him so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, and since they had no depth of soil, but when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. Then the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? He answered them, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing, they do not see, and hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, you will indeed hear, but never understand. You will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people, this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Thus far, reading in God's holy word. Beloved, all flesh is as grass, its beauty is as the flower of the field. The grass withers and its flower fades. The word of our God endures forever. And this is the word that was just read to you, and by His grace, it will be preached. Please be seated. Now, your children, after church, will no doubt go home or perhaps go to a family, friends, to have lunch. And some of that discussion may go this way. One of your parents may ask you, do you recall anything that you heard from the preacher at church? That's a dread question, isn't it? You know, it's kind of embarrassing because you got a mouthful of mashed potatoes and you pretend it, I can't answer for the next 30 minutes. I'm chewing my mashed potatoes, right? Well, we like to hold each other accountable because it's important that we come to church, but it would be fruitless to come to church if we had nothing to take back home from church. And what we have is light. What we have is truth. We have teaching that we must receive. We have teaching that we must remember. And even if you remember a little bit, well, that's understanding. If you remember it with understanding, that's good. That's actually very, very good. But if week upon week that question is posed to you and you say, well, you know, I really have trouble understanding that preacher. That's not good. But even worse would be if you answered, you know, Mom, I would love to be able to understand it, what's being said, but he keeps speaking to us in riddles. He keeps speaking to us in parables. The ministry of the Word today does not go forth in parables. And the reason is that we are to make things plain. We use plain English, as plain an English as I can use. And that is because the Holy Spirit has given us understanding. And by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we are here and he's building us up in his holy truth. Besides, there is no minister on earth. There is no churchman on earth that can ever decide that the church of God is so recalcitrant, that is to say, so rebellious, so stiff-necked, so hardened and fatted of heart, that they will not receive the word of God, and so we withhold the word of God from God's people. No, there's no one that can make that judgment. Only the Lord himself, the King of the kingdom, can make that judgment. Of course, God the Father, as he judges the nations from earth, is making that decision day by day. He's gathering his elect. Other people, they come within the hearing of the word, and they reject it, and their hearts are hardened. Well, that's God's doing, and he has every right to do that because he's the creator of heaven and earth. But the Lord Jesus has the mind of the Father and is doing the will of the Father. And so as he's going through his ministry on earth, he's not going to contradict the Father's will. What the Father does, the Son does. And the Father, it's hard enough for us to understand this, is wanting not to give this covenant people, Israel, more teaching. Why? Well, because they've already have sufficient amount of teaching and they haven't really responded to what they have. And the Lord himself teaches us not to throw pearls before swine. But more than that, not to insult God's people. It's not that. It's that he's holding back in mercy lest they suffer a greater judgment for being given even greater light and having to be accountable for that. It's in a mercy that the Lord Jesus speaks to, naturally, explains his parables to his disciples, but withholds more kingdom information to those who are already not paying attention or to those who are already proven themselves vicious against the cause of Christ and of his kingdom. The teaching here is that Christ's disciples will be taught to understand all parables. The teaching here is that Christ will, his disciples, those that learn from him, will be taught to understand all parables. But the rest of mankind, even the church of old here, even Israel of old, the rest of mankind are kept ignorant of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. They're kept ignorant. Even as the Bible is read, even as the Bible is published, even as they have access to all the ordinances and the sacraments, everything is in their favor. But the Word of God is not in the hearing of the Word of God, nor in the seeing of the ministry. The Word of God is in the understanding of it spiritually, in the loving of it in a vital, faithful way. And so we have 3 points. The first point here is that Jesus' disciples will understand all parables. And this is exciting. This is good news. Because if they can handle the hard meat of the scriptures, they'll be able to handle everything. And if they can handle the riddles, they'll be wise as Solomon. His disciples then, not understanding the parable of the sower, do what disciples do. Disciples are learners, and when they don't understand what's being dished out, they ask questions. That's why the ministry always has an incarnational, that is to say, a personal presence along with the word preached. That's why men and women are sent out, but especially the apostles, men and prophets, evangelists. They are there as teachers because even after they have communicated everything, questions may remain. That's obvious. A good disciple, a good student in a classroom will usually have good questions for their teacher. And here the disciples are no different. Preaching and teaching, of course, require plain speech. And that way, difficult things are easier to understand. And there's various ways that's done. The preaching is enhanced or benefited or becomes more clear by the use of illustrations or similitudes. But the parable is an illustration of sorts and a similitude of sorts. But the parable has the added challenge that it is enigmatic, that is a form of a riddle. It doesn't necessarily explain itself. It's not a rhetorical matter. You need some light and you need a key to crack it. So it should go out in plain speech, but parables are these figures of speech that are not plain speech. In other words, it's kind of the exception to preaching. Unless explained, parables remain dark mysteries. And of course, when you're speaking of the mystery or the hiddenness of the kingdom itself, that kingdom will remain hidden unless the parables, these mysteries, parables, are explained. Now, the question here on the part of the disciples, if I could paraphrase this, you know, the disciples are asking, why are you speaking to them in parables? In other words, what they're thinking to ask is, Jesus, isn't this a bit self-defeating? I mean, aren't you going out and preaching the word of God, and aren't you the teacher of Israel, and you're withholding teaching? I mean, how is this kingdom going to go forward? How is this kingdom going to go forward? Well, that's their question. But what we see here is that the understanding of the parables of the kingdom then must be given. It must be given, and for that, you have a worker. You have an evangelistic worker there to help you. In Deuteronomy 18, we're promised in Scripture, Moses speaks of a prophet that the Lord will give him. He's the great prophet that he's coming after him, and he's very similar to Moses. And this one is the prophet of Israel, and to him, all Israel must give ear. Be on the lookout, and this one is coming, and of course, even the rabbis of old all would agree that this is pointing to Messiah, the Christ, who is the prophet of Israel. But Jesus, being the prophet, gives understanding, and he gives all understanding to his disciples, the men that have come close to him. And he gave this understanding to his disciples in his own days as he walked upon the earth. And he still, Jesus is the one who gives instruction and understanding to us today. He gives it to us primarily through preachers and teachers. And you say, well, you know, that's very good, but I'm not so keen on the church. I don't believe in organized religion, and I'd rather read my Bible at home. My friends, the Bible was composed by men that Jesus selected and trained, and so they are teachers and preachers, and they still are gaining fruit by their labors. But more important than that, you know, the Lord has assigned in his church certain men to be stewards, treasurers and scribes of the holy faith. And they're here to help because a teacher and a disciple have this arrangement, this relationship where they relate to one another, and there will be questions, and hopefully there'll be some good answers. Jesus then gives understanding to his disciples. He does so today through preachers and teachers. A good example of that is Paul. In his missionary efforts, didn't go by and merely gain a decision for Christ. He didn't go out and say, you know, how would you like to have everlasting life and have your sins forgiven? Well, to believe in the Lord Jesus, fine. So now you believe, you'd be baptized, bye. No, he established churches. And the kingdom of God rolls forth in a visible way through such teaching and preaching, relationships between teachers and their students, disciples, and that's the way the kingdom rolls out. To despise the church is to despise the wisdom of God and his methods for growing his kingdom. Now, non-disciples will not follow Jesus and so will not be instructed in the mysteries. It is imperative that you be instructed in all things because that's the feature of Jesus' teaching. He wants to lead you into all the truth, and the Holy Spirit, being the resident Spirit of God, will also lead you into all truth, and he has power to do so. So if you are a Christian and you are christened by the Holy Spirit, This is where he wants you, in this relationship of learning, especially learning all that the Lord has for you in his kingdom. The Apostle Paul says in Acts 20, he was telling the Ephesian elders, he didn't spare one word to them. I have declared to you the whole counsel of God. All that you need is here laid out for you. The Bible is sufficient to give that knowledge. And in the hands of the man, the ordained servant of God, that message will go forward with clear understanding. You have a resident teacher, the Holy Spirit. All of these things conspire to work together. And away you go, and so goes the kingdom forward. And my friends, we are not in a position to stand in the way of that kingdom, nor in the means by which it is propagated. You cannot decide, well, I'm going to be a Christian, but I'm not going to be in the church. You had the example of the Martinez family today. Now, they could decide, well, we've got an ordained man here. We've got a nice library. We'll just set up table here, and we'll have communion, and we'll have a merry old time as the Church of Jesus Christ Martinez, you know. But that's not the way it works. That is not the way that God wants us to handle his truth and to be in the world as his witnesses. And so therefore, non-disciples will not follow Jesus and will not be instructed, and they will remain ignorant regarding his mysteries. But, you know, listen, you might say, well, you know, it's nice, but I am convinced I'm a Christian. All these words sound ominous to me, but I know I'm a Christian. And so why do I need to have this further instructions from Matthew 13 parables? What do parables have to do with me? Well, my friends, the knowledge of these mysteries that are contained in these parables is essential. It may not be essential to your being a Christian. It may not be absolutely essential that you know these things and are able to explain them to be saved and go to heaven. But it is essential to your comfort. It is essential to your well-being in this world and that of every single believer. The Lord who made us knows us well, and he knows what we need. He is the shepherd. We are the sheep. He calls, we follow. That's just the way it is. Disciples that have been given some understanding, here's the good news. You say, well, you know, I've made some headway, but am I going to... I don't know if I can surmount this. This may be a high hurdle. Now we're heading into the meat of the word. Now we're heading into more difficult issues. Well, no. If you've been given a little, the disciple that has been given some understanding, Jesus says, will be given more understanding. This is great. This is a great incentive to go forward and become what Calvin said, a Christian scholar, God's scholars. And so therefore, God is so pleased, and of his generosity, he rewards you with that which even pleases him and pleases you. He gives you more knowledge. And of course, the glory of a teacher, my friends, the glory of a teacher is to have a disciple that has mastered the material and triumphed. You know how it is to be parents, to have children that you can be proud of. They've attained in school or in athletics. They've attained among in the community, they're looked up to, and they're useful. The Lord is like that. He has that heart, and so the Lord is glad. The Lord is glad to reveal these things to you, and if you're glad to receive them from the Lord, that communion in the Holy Spirit is a glorious thing, and he will even give you more, and you will have an abundance. Now, for those that take these things and snub them, if those that... that taste these things and don't like them or put away, or perhaps they think, well, I've got enough religion. I mean, one of my favorite people, I won't mention him. I would even hate to shame him in public, but he's a very famous figure in history. And he said, you know, I had so much religion growing up that I think I'm up to my neck here with the religion. And I have more than enough to get by and for the rest of my life. I was so very pious when I was young. It kind of reminds me of a friend of mine that had surgery. Stomach stapling. You know, after you, if you get your stomach stapled to lose weight, you can handle about 3 teaspoons of food and then you're full. You know, look, I can't eat anymore. We just had 3 bites of spaghetti? Yeah, but I can't eat anymore. You push the plate away. You're full because you're a little teacup soul. You're just a tiny little spiritual thing. You need to grow. You need to blossom. You need to be able to contain the whole counsel of God. And that's your calling as Christ's disciple. This Christ's disciples, then, Jesus' disciples, will understand all parables. The second point is that Jesus' parables will not be understood by many, and not even by many in his church, in the synagogue. And that's because the Lord, who is pleased to reveal these things graciously, is also one who is very displeased if you take his words and throw them behind you, if you ignore them or shun them. And so he hardens what little understanding non-disciples have, sort of nuances of understanding of these missions. This understanding will be taken away. And this is God judging. This is retribution. You know, the wrath of God is revealed against all ungodliness, says Romans 1. It's not that God will reveal his wrath on the last day. The worst wrath that anyone is experiencing today, my friends, we're shy of hell. We're not in the end times already. We're not in the final phase of life under God. There'll be a heaven and there'll be a hell. But the worst thing that can happen here by way of wrath, short of hell, is that the Lord hardens you, that you become increasingly ignorant and darkened in your understanding, that you give yourself over to sin, and that by God's retributive justice. He does it because he judges the nations and he judges sovereignly. So what little understanding non-disciples have of these mysteries, people that see the advantage of schooling in Christ, they see God's ministers, prophets, and apostles, and they say, oh, all right, I've had enough of this. They walk away. Non-disciples, whatever they have, they'll be taken away. And God purposely keeps the mysteries of the kingdom from many people. Now, my friend, no man can do that. If I did that, I would be a murderer of a soul. No Sunday school teacher should ever do that. We should always give the benefit of the doubt. We don't read hearts. Only one read heart. That's God. God reads hearts. But Jesus is the God-man, so he can read hearts. And he knows when to stop. But he also knows when to bless. God purposely keeps these mysteries of the kingdom for many people, even the Jews. And these are the covenanted people of God, that God has sworn to be their God. And they are his people by covenant. And this is exactly why Jesus speaks in riddles or these parables. Now he says, Jesus, in order to back up what he's doing, as he will certainly be questioned, what kind of preaching is this? I mean, even John the Baptist says, hey, look, make every way smooth. The valleys will be exalted. The mountains will come down. Remove every barrier. The crooked made straight. Let every impediment be removed. And it looks like Jesus is putting up a huge impediment here. He's sure to be questioned about his methodologies. But this accords, says Jesus, with Isaiah's prophecy, written in the 8th century B.C. The prophet Isaiah spoke against the people of God. And it says, quoted here, you will indeed hear but never understand. You will indeed see but never perceive, for this people's heart has grown dull. In verse 15, with ears they can hardly hear, and with their eyes they have closed. It's not as if God is altogether to blame here. The people are absolutely pleased to close their eyes and plug their ears and walk away. And when we hear of God's hardening the heart of Pharaoh, I think the way to take that is Pharaoh has a heart. Whatever heart Pharaoh has, Jehovah God in strengthening is what he's doing. He's just giving Pharaoh more of his heart. And so Pharaoh's heart is more of a heart of Pharaoh. And that's what we mean by the hardening. Because if we are left to ourselves and become more ourselves, we will be hardened beyond any help of redemption unless the Lord changes our hearts. And for that, he needs to remove our hearts. He needs to give us a new birth. You need to become altogether a new creature. All in Adam have been born with a heart contrary to God by his sin. When we are born again of the Holy Spirit, the Lord takes that heart of flesh out. He gives us heart of stone out. He gives us a heart of flesh. He gives us a heart that is after his ways, that love his ways. It's a new man. And so, my friends, you receive that by believing in the Lord Jesus. You receive that by receiving the King of this kingdom. You receive that by drawing near in faith to Jesus the King, Jesus Messiah. And seeing that faith, the Lord will then take you as his disciple and teach you all things in unity there with the Holy Spirit. But Jesus spoke in these riddles, and this is in accord, justifying himself. This is what Isaiah said. Most of Israel, then covenanted by God, was in the flesh. They were not a spiritual entity. They were not born again. They did not have a heart for God. And so, my friends, they did not learn from the Scriptures. The Scriptures in the Old Testament bear the signature of the Spirit of Jesus. It is the Spirit of Jesus is the Spirit of prophecy of the Old Testament. They didn't hear Jesus then in the Old Testament, in the old times. In the days of Isaiah, they were given to idolatry. They didn't hear Jesus then. And still, his voice sounds very unusual. He is not a loved shepherd to Israel. They will turn away from him. Most of Israel in the flesh then will not learn from their Messiah. They never have, and they never will. Israel then will hear, see, but not attain a saving knowledge of Messiah as his kingdom. That is to say, Israel as a covenanted nation and its leaders, that's why I think this is the position of the nation rejecting their Messiah. Not every Jew rejected Messiah. We do have the apostles that were all Jews, and they received Messiah. But now, if Israel then would turn from their wicked ways, if they would turn from their hardness of heart, if they would turn from rejecting the teacher of Israel, the Lord would heal. That's the term. Believe, repent. That's the message of John the Baptist. That's the message of the Lord Jesus. Repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. Turn. Turn to me, and I will heal you. Of course, you'll do that if you believe. He will save you. But the weird thing about this passage, the scary thing about this passage, the frightening thing about this passage is that Israel will be kept from turning. Jesus knows that. Jesus knows that they will not receive this message. Jesus knows that he came to die for the sins of his people. And by dying, that's how the sins of his people will be forgiven. By dying on the cross, by shedding his blood will be for the remission of sins. He will die the death of a sinner so that sinners might live righteously to God forever by faith. But Israel will be kept from turning. This is God's judicial hardening. It is his just punishment for sin. I've already explained this. But it's also God's infinite mercy, because he himself has taught us not to throw pearls before swine. And mysteries of the kingdom are true pearls, as it explains here in just a minute. Many wise men, many prophets, many people before have longed to see the things that are now before you plainly being discussed, plainly being told, and yet they were not able to see. And so, my friends, the Lord is keeping mercifully back information that would further incur sin and further damnation, more severe damnation. As I said, Jesus is not working contrary to the work, to the will of God the Father. This is God the Father's judicial retribution for sin. The Son, God the Son, will not do anything different. He will only work as the Father works. He will not save those that the Father will not save. If the Father does not draw them to Jesus, they will remain apart from Jesus, and they will die in their sin. The Father and the Son are one in their will. So Jesus' parables then, of course, will not be understood by many. But finally, and the good note, and the mercy goes on, Jesus' disciples, these are greatly blessed. These are inestimably blessed to understand these hidden mysteries, these parables. Disciples are those whom God has turned from their sins. Those who remain under the instruction of Jesus. Those who persist in walking with Jesus. Those who by faith draw nigh to the Son of God. These have done so because they have turned from the course of the world. And they have turned to follow the Son of God, to follow Jesus by faith. And so they learn from Jesus. And not because they're more intelligent or because they have better schooling or not because they've had better parenting, Or it's none of those things at all, but it's because God is gracious to give them His Spirit and a willing heart, and they'll walk in the ways of the Lord. They will follow the Lamb wherever He goes. Jesus then, for these who learn, for these who become to an understanding of these hidden things and relish them, to believe them and are and find them lovely and praise God for it, Jesus will grant healing. That is to say, salvation to these. You will be healed. You'll be cured from your bondage to sin. You'll be cured from the shame of sin. You'll be forgiven the guilt of sin. You'll be in the end, you'll be raised from the dead. Your body will be resurrected. Though sin has killed every son of Adam, you in your grave will wait for the resurrection on the last day, and He will raise you to life, and He will gather you to His right hand in blessing forevermore. And so this is His healing, His salvation. And it's because they have the true knowledge of God. No one comes into the house of God, which is heaven, without knowing God. Heaven is God's house. You would be an intruder. How about if somebody tried to come into your house in the middle of the night? Well, you shoot them, or your dog would bite them. You're not welcome unless you know the owner of the house. And you are welcome in heaven if you know God. God welcomes you when you have the true knowledge of God in Jesus Christ and His kingdom. Jesus' disciples then have greater understanding than many prophets and many righteous men of old. You know, the Word of God is precious. When people sought the instruction of God, teach us what the will of God is. We are in desperation. We have famine. We've had plague. There's been a drought. Why are our crops failing? Why do our children die and languish? How is it that we are continually beset by wars? And they seek some explanation. How can we get the Lord to bless us rather than to drive us into this despair? Many have sought these things. The world today has its own remedies, macroeconomics, psychotherapy, medical science. We have all kinds of pleasures to numb our senses from thinking through these very difficult issues. Why are our souls in despair? Why are there so much iniquity and danger in the world? The understanding of these things is absolutely critical to the disciple, because you must know God and His ways to even relate to Him. From ancient times, then, wise men have sought diligently. They have taken up diligent studies, the languages. They studied Akkadian, they studied Ugaritic, they studied Hebrew, they studied Aramaic, they tried to read it in the Greek. They got together in councils, having marched 1,000 miles to meet with the wise men. The Queen of Sheba came to meet with Solomon just to get a little glimpse of the wisdom of that man who was king over Israel, the son of God, as Israel was called in those days, or the king of Israel was called. From ancient times, wise men have diligently sought, and all of this is available to those who draw near to the Lord Jesus. With Jesus coming, this is the matter of grace. His disciples already, they already see and they already hear what had escaped or what had eluded holy men, devout men, bright and inspiring, diligent men of old. That is a privileged position that the Lord gives His people. Knowledge. Believing and hearing disciples then have blessed eyes. The most blessed thing, my friend, that you own is the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the blessing. Don't look for blessing in a nice house and in a new car. Don't look. Yes, all those things are gifts of the Lord. And when we have a good time at church, it's a blessed time. But the most blessed thing is that you do know the Lord. And are known by the Lord. You are sons of God because of the true knowledge of God. And these things are not hidden from you. These things are comfortable to your hearing. Many of you are very adept at explaining even the intricacies of the kingdom of God. And so your eyes are blessed. Your ears are blessed because they are working spiritually. You are showing that you are alive spiritually, that your heart is alive spiritually. And that, my friends, is the most blessed condition any person could find themselves. And the result, of course, by understanding is that they have faith. They have a true and saving knowledge of Jesus and his kingdom. That's why we established this teaching. Christ's disciples will be taught to understand all parables. But the rest of mankind, they're kept ignorant, both by God's judicial retribution and his infinite mercy, that they not suffer a greater hell for their rebellion. They'll be kept ignorant of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Now, my friends, of course, the first note of application is we must receive all teaching from Jesus, even these parables. And so as we go through this section of Scripture, read them and remember them. Keep them in mind that this is the teaching that Jesus asked for us to show us where he is working in the world today. You say, well, why should I go to church? Well, there's a saying that goes out in the evangelical world. I have to affirm it. It's a good saying, and it is, if you want God to be your help and to bless you, find out where he's working and go there. The problem is, my friends, that people don't understand these parables and don't know where to look for where God is working. They think that God is working where there's balloons and Easter eggs and Christmas trees. Maybe he's there. Maybe he's there. But that's no certain sign that the Lord is working in any one place. I said, well, I find God better in nature. Well, of course God's in nature. God is everywhere. But he doesn't work salvifically on the trout stream. If that were the case, that's where I'd be there this morning. Sure. He works in the church. And so the kingdom parables are absolutely essential for you to understand. Otherwise, your nutrition will be very bad. You will fall to spiritual sickness if even you have any spirituality. And if you have very paltry spirituality, even that will be taken away from you. And that's the kingdom rule, the kingdom justice of our Lord Jesus Christ. Learn these parables, remember them, meditate on them. Seek then preaching that explains the whole counsel of God. Seek serious Bible teaching and serious Bible preaching. A lot of ministers are up here very casually, as if this was some kind of social gathering or we'll have lunch soon, guys. It's a serious thing. Every time you come together, as the Lord calls us to assembly, he's either helping you along and blessing you towards a spiritual maturity and growth in Christ, or the worst, he's taking something from you and weakening you. And that justly for your own good. Because you don't want to be the know-it-all in hell. You don't want to be the man who the rest of the souls will spit and kick because they said, you had this knowledge. We never had this. No preacher ever came to us in our land. But you having all this, and you throw it away, and here you are. You are the greatest fool. And Satan will taunt you that way too. And your own conscience is the hell that will threaten you with this. But on the flip side of that, my friends, it's all of grace that you have this. It's all of grace that you are a sinner, rebellious against God, and yet the Lord is pleased to come to you and give you the knowledge of his person, the knowledge of his forgiveness, a sure hope in the kingdom of God, going to heaven as a son comfortably, already being well received and welcomed by a loving father, he's giving you the signet ring, the robe, the feast, the prodigal's home. That's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's by faith. But you have to know where the kingdom is to enter it. And to see the kingdom, you need spiritual eyes. You need to be born again. And that's where, my friends, I must lay again for the third time this morning, the gospel. The gospel is that the Lord Father has given the Lord's Son to us as the remedy of all sin and death. In sin we die. This is why we all will go to the grave. But in Christ we will be raised. We will be pardoned. We will be received into an everlasting home and new heavens and new earth through the resurrection of our own bodies from the grave. We follow Jesus in everything, in his teaching, in his death to sin, and in his resurrection into life. The lambs follow the shepherd in every way. Believe on the Lord Jesus, who is all your righteousness, and he is all your salvation, in cleansing your sin and granting you a right status as a son before God, all by faith, not by being good, but by his being good, by his being perfect. Now, beware then of every unbelief. Beware of every disobedience. Beware of turning, especially from the taught word, the word of God. No compromise. Don't take any prisoners. Sin must be mortified. It must be shot to death. If you have a firing squad and you see sin, shoot every single one of them. Every single one of them has to die. No prisoners. Every sin must die. Mortify sin by the help of the Holy Spirit, by the grace of the Holy Spirit. Beware of all unbelief, blinding, deafening, hardening, callousness to the word, to the ways of God, especially to the means of grace. Increasing ignorance. Do you find yourself forgetting Bible verses? It may be a medical condition. It may be a spiritual condition. Are you spending time in the Word of God? Are you reading it? Are you storing it up in your heart? Are these things precious to you? Is the kingdom of God precious to you? And is it identifiable to you? Do you care? Judging by church attendances these days, many people do not understand the kingdom of God nor his parables, and that's why they're not in church. The reason not in church is that churches aren't teaching them these things. And so something has to break through. The light has to break through. By God's grace, we need to be praying for churches that do not preach the gospel clearly. And so people are lost. As though they were, they might get some spiritual help. Beloved, we need to be gracious and we need to be thanking God for every revelation. Every truth is precious. Wise men diligently sought these things. They are here before you as appetizers on a plate. Just, you like this? Here, there you go. It's all free for you. Every truth, every grace, because all is of God and you are the blessed people of God. My friends, we worship but God, but we scarcely know his greatness towards us. We scarcely know his love towards us. When we see all that he's done, when we see all that he's given, despite what we are, now we begin in small ways to lisp his praise. Now we begin to worship as we ought, because we see him high and lifted up, and we see ourselves as needy, as doomed, unless he helps us. But he will help us, because he's given us his Christ. And of this we're sure. We have that earnest, that we are his and he is ours forever. And blessed be God for his great redemption in Christ. Let's pray. Now, Lord, we thank you for the revealing of your Son to us, the King of the kingdom, and we thank you that you reveal the kingdom of God with him. We pray, Lord, that we would be of those disciples that follow our teacher Jesus everywhere he goes. We pray that you would learn his ways, the ways of the kingdom of God, which are hidden, even hidden to wise men of old, but now revealed in the Spirit and the pages of your book. We pray, Lord, that we would please you and that you be delighted in us, that you would give us more knowledge of yourself and of your will, and so that we might have an abundance and might be glad of heart and rejoice. Now, blessed are those who trust in you, Lord. Now, abide with us and bless us with every gift and especially with your presence. We praise you through Jesus for your every word. Amen. Let's have God's worship by tithes and offerings.